The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, February the 12th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled, "Why Do So Many People, Including Myself, Say Yeah, No Today, When It Doesn't Make Any Sense?" And the time is 9:59 a.m. here in London, making it 4:59 a.m. on the east coast of America and 1:59 a.m. on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. I've just had my breakfast, during which I was watching the fifth episode of the first series of Monty Python's Flying Circus, which is the one entitled "Man's Crisis of Identity in the Latter Half of the 20th Century." It starts off with a sketch called Confuser Cat, which is basically about a company that confuse cats for a living. That's probably the best way to describe it. So when there's a cat that doesn't seem to be paying a lot of attention to its owners, they call Confuser Cat, and they put on a little performance to confuse the cat into behaving normally again. But like many Monty Python sketches, it's one that sounds funny in its idea, but it didn't really work for me in its execution. However, later in that particular episode, there's a sketch that I never knew the name of, but I'm on the Wikipedia page, the episode guide. It's referred to as Silly Job Interview, and John Cleese is interviewing Graham Chapman for some sort of management position. And suddenly just does all these bizarre things, one of which is to ring a bell by whilst at the same time saying, "Good night, ding, 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 ding." And that was always one of my favourite sketches. And when I actually had a friend over back in the sometime in the 1990s, I think, when these episodes had come out on video, we wound that bit back. And as he wound it back, it suddenly froze, and he just got this frozen image of John Cleese showing his teeth ringing this bell. And it just looked absolutely ridiculous, which caused a great deal of merriment. So Monty Python, still hit and miss. It's not going to change. It's, this series is from 1969, but it's well worth a watch. And I will say that if you're in the United States, the Blu-ray version is available commercially. You should be able to get it on Amazon, stuff like that. That's because the company Universal make it over there. The company that made it over here, Network, has gone bust. So I managed to get a copy after looking for months and months and months at a quite reasonable price secondhand on eBay. But essentially, if you are in America and you are interested in Monty Python, it's the quality of the Blu-ray is just brilliant. They've done a really good job on it. And it's a great shame that Network has gone bust. So let's go back to today's show title. Why do so many people, including myself, say yeah, no today when it doesn't make any sense? I first heard this not so long ago, maybe a year or two. Presenters I've been listening to for years, they're suddenly doing an interview and they go, "Yeah, no," and it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, yes or no? Anyway, I found myself doing it. I was having a chatting to Dr. Peter Hammond after yesterday's show, and I did it. And I'd probably do it more if I was doing interview shows. But fortunately, I don't think it's happened on the air yet. But it's happened to many people that I listen to. I obviously respect them, otherwise I wouldn't listen to them. And I just wondered why. And I feel, being very conspiratorial, that this is something that is being either done to us or it's a byproduct of what's being done to us to kind of, you know, interfere with our minds, things like that. It just seems odd that this thing suddenly manifests itself in so many people I listen to, then starts happening to me, and it doesn't make any sense. And these are people that do shows regularly, so they have a certain grasp on controlling what they say, maybe not erring and umming as much as they would do if they weren't broadcasting, certain things like that. So it's just a question that came to my mind yesterday, and I thought I'd use it for the title so that it might give you food for thought. You may have heard people do this, you may have not, you may be doing it yourself, you may wonder why. Well, if you do, please think about it, and if you've got any ideas, andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com, please shoot me an email. Okay, so let's move on to what I have downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. Here we are, closing all the windows. Third hour of the Jeff Wentz programme from yesterday. I believe you have to be behind the subscriber paywall to get this, although there is a David John Oates columnist section, I would imagine. It is this week's Reverse Speech Newsmakers with David John Oates, and it's the third hour of the Jeff Wentz programme from yesterday. Try looking for it on Wentz.com. Alternatively, get a subscription at WentzRadio.com. Went over to FTJ Media, I'll get that right, FTJmedia.com, for the Dave Gahari show Siege the Day. Went to download it, which I download it on MP3 normally. Didn't work, only downloaded like a 4 kilobyte file. So I've let Dave Gahari know. Hopefully that will be corrected later in the day. But I ended up downloading the video and converting it to an MP3. So that's something I've lined up for later. I also listened to, where is it? Oh, here it is over here, I believe. It was the Dr. Patrick Slattery show with Don Advo. Don Advo is always interesting to listen to. You can go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org and click the drop-down box of the show host tab. Click on Patrick Slattery and you'll be able to get that show there. So those are the shows. However, what I'm most looking forward to are the two audio commentaries I found on YouTube of the 1988 film Dead Ringers, one with the director David Cronenberg and the other with the actor Jeremy Irons. The film is about identical twin brothers who run a gynecological practice that treats women with fertility problems. Unfortunately, they abuse their position by seducing some of the women who come to the clinic, and without giving the game away, one of these encounters has a dramatic impact on both of their lives. For me, this is the finest acting performance I have ever seen. Jeremy Irons plays the brothers, acting in many scenes together. And indeed, in his 1990 Best Actor Oscar acceptance speech for Reversal of Fortune, he thanked David Cronenberg before he even mentioned the Reversal of Fortune director, Barbet Schroeder. Now, I'm not a big fan of David Cronenberg. He has to put sex in everything he does for some reason, which for me was quite unnecessary during a film in which a man turns into a fly. But perhaps his most egregious use of this was in his 1996 film Crash, which was all about people who are sexually aroused by car crashes. However, Cronenberg cannot be held solely responsible for this tripe, as it was written by the English novelist J.G. Ballard, who is mentioned in this 2010 article by the BBC, and I quote, "The archive of visionary writer J.G. Ballard has been acquired for the nation. The 15 large storage boxes containing manuscripts, notebooks and letters offer an extraordinary insight into the novelist," said the British Library. Wow. On that basis, one can only presume that Charles Dickens' biggest regret was that he died before the motor car was invented, preventing him from reaching the dizzying literary heights of J.G. Ballard. Okay, now let's see how the news has been developing since yesterday's show. These are all Daily Mail headlines. Excuse me. First one. Critics warn assisted dying law safeguards are collapsing after Labour architect says High Court should not have to sign off cases. So here we go. Talked about this on this show. And they got a law passed in the UK. They said all these safeguards are going to be in place, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as they get it passed, oh, now we're not going to get the High Court to sign off cases. So they're already relaxing what has to be done. Now, I'd be very interested to see how this pans out. Is it going to be ethno-specific, as the new man in charge of health in America, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., claimed that the vaccines were ethno-specific? There were some people they didn't target at all and others that they appeared to target. One wonders if this policy is going to be of a similar nature. But certainly we can already see that they lied in order to get it passed, and now they're rolling back the safeguards that they said would be in place in order to get it passed. What a surprise. Then we have a Pakistani father who was jailed for child sex offences, avoids deportation because it would be unduly harsh on his two toddlers if he was forced to leave the UK. Actually, wasn't there someone else recently who went to jail for sexually abusing his own daughter? And, you know, does that not come into the sort of people who made this decision's mind? That he might end up doing this to his own children? Rather than it would be unduly harsh on his two children, it might be a blessing in disguise if he continues his behaviour with them. But of course, that didn't cross whoever made this decision's mind. Then we have sleeping policeman video of cops snoozing in their car at a junction is investigated by their force. Now, I know these sorts of things. I've been a police officer. I parked once because I had to park on a yellow line in a restricted area to pick up some food. And the amount of food that I had when I was a police officer that I got a call, and I paid for this, a hot meal, I'm on a long shift, and I'm lucky to get through half of it, and it all gets thrown away because you've been called out an emergency somewhere. But of course, you get members of the public, oh, he's on a yellow line. If I parked on a yellow line, I'd get a fine. Why isn't he getting a fine? That's not fair. No, they don't think that actually, I can't really put, you know, a car in a car park and then I get an emergency call while I'm on a break. Because, you know, when you're on a break, if there's an emergency and need a lot of you there, then you've got to be close to get there. It's as simple as that. And unfortunately, you know how a lot of people are. And this led to me getting a complaint, funnily enough. I've mentioned this before. And basically, the shop I went into to get food, I had another colleague with me as well. And by the time they'd spoken to me, they'd spoken to the person who made the complaint, they'd spoken to the person in the shop, and they'd spoken to the person who was with me. And they all corroborated my story, which I hadn't even yet given because I hadn't been told about it yet. And it was all correct, apart from this guy said I called him the C word afterwards, which wasn't true. And, of course, was proven not to be true. But I don't believe anything happened to this guy for making that up. Anyway, so that being said, returning to the headline, sleeping policeman video of cops snoozing in their car at junction is investigated by their force. Someone's seen this, they've thought, this isn't on, we're paying these people's wages. How dare they sleep on the job? Well, you try working, it doesn't say what time this occurred. I looked through the article. I've was on a night shift once with another officer driving round, and literally had to grab the wheel as he just nodded off, like momentarily, you know, grabbed it, shouted, and then he, you know, grabbed it again. It's very difficult doing things like night shifts and keeping yourself awake and keeping yourself going, because the body is not designed to be up at night. We've heard all about these things with sunlight and vitamin D and all these sorts of things. And when you're working through the night and sleeping through the day, it does have that effect. And it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, things like that, things can happen. And that's certainly something that I witnessed. So anyway, let's move on to pharmacist told patient her son's autism was caused by MMR jab and recommended he detox by taking vitamins. Well, that's essentially what happened. This guy has been suspended. Surprise, surprise, because anyone who calls out vaccines is obviously worthy of suspension. We, you know, the fact that the vaccine manufacturers pay a large proportion of doctors' salaries, GP salaries, is something we don't need to mention whatsoever, and certainly not something that's mentioned in this article. But the very last paragraph, really, you know, this is the sort of thing that the mainstream media, they're always going to bleat about how people don't read them anymore and they're turning to social media and they need to crack down this, that and the other. Well, the last paragraph says this: the claim the MMR vaccine could cause autism in children was brought to prominence by British Dr. Andrew Wakefield, but has been debunked by scientific studies. Really? And who funded those scientific studies? And how come we have all this autism around today, which was never around when I was a child? I never knew anybody autistic or anybody who had been diagnosed autistic. And I was in and out of hospitals as a child, having been born with a cleft lip and hair lip and a cleft palate. Okay? So I was familiar with this sort of thing. But it only seems to have come to prominence with vaccines. And the people that you see bleating and crying about this being not true are the same people that seem to be in the pockets of these vaccine manufacturers. And one only needs to look at the COVID rollout and how that was weaponized against any criticism whatsoever to realize that vaccines are an integral part of the global conspiracy against us. And this is why they cannot afford for them to be bad-mouthed in any manner. And anybody who does so, like this pharmacist, is going to find them punished in one way or another to make sure they don't set a trend for others to follow. Next, Chelsea Clinton breaks silence on claims she received $84 million from USAID. Well, this is a sort of headline that I know is not worth progressing into the story further, because she's obviously going to deny it. However, one thing I did notice via a picture of her is she's certainly gotten her looks from her mother. Okay, and we move on to Pakistani healthcare worker who was sacked while pregnant because patients couldn't understand her accent wins $50,000 discrimination claim. Well, again, I was having an operation on my ears. I had to go to a pre-operation appointment. It was something like that was called. And one of the people I had to meet was someone who was supposed to be the anaesthetist or advising the anaesthetist or something. And they weren't Pakistani, they were some sort of Chinese, Vietnamese, that sort of background. And I could hardly understand what they were saying. And they're talking about putting me to sleep, you know? And you see, what they always try and do here, and I even encountered this, that this was something that they were trying to float last year. I don't know if the trial bloom went off or not, but they wanted to make it racial discrimination. If you said to someone on a phone, like a call centre or something like that, I can't understand what you're saying, if it was because they're of a particular ethnic background. Now, I've had people of different ethnic backgrounds on my show. And one that comes to mind here, I believe he's Indian originally, is Frank Raymond. And he's got one of the best English-speaking voices out there. So there's no excuse for people to say that it's unfair. It's discrimination if they can't make themselves understood in English. That's surely a requirement of the job. But no, again, they can use this legislation to twist things to their advantage, which I also see as another one of these articles that's bad-mouthing the migrants again for whatever they've got planned later in the year, which I believe is going to get the historically indigenous peoples in the West to go into some sort of dispute with the migrant community that has been brought in. But we will have to wait and see. It's just, you have to look out for articles such as this, which is why I bring them up on this show. Okay, so let's move on to see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So as always, we start off with the Associated Press, apnews.com. Netanyahu threatens to resume fighting in Gaza if hostages aren't released Saturday. Well, this was the main headline just before I went to bed. last night, which was, you know, over 12 hours ago, so I'm sure many of you are aware of this anyway. Let's move on to BBC News, see what's happening here. The top most read stories. So scroll down to that. Elon Musk denies hostile takeover of government in surprise White House appearance. That is the most read story at the moment. Then we've got judges' sperm donor warning over man who fathered 180 children. Then Goldman axes diversity rule that has served purpose. Is this Goldman Sachs? Let me have a look. Yes, they've ditched an internal diversity rule that barred it from advising all male, all white boards on company flotations because it was no longer needed. Apparently, a guy called Richard Noddy told the BBC that policy was put in place to try and drive a change in behaviour, and I think it has happened. I think what is important is that if you have a diversity of views on the board. So basically what they're saying is they brought it in to get rid of the all-male, all-white boards. This has now happened, and so they don't need to continue with it. Well, this is exactly what I've maintained that immigration is all about, or ceasefires are all about, or this is an end to the war is all about. Once they've achieved what they've achieved, they stop. They don't turn around and then reverse everything, you know, like we're going to bring all these people back to life in this war that we fought, what have you, or, you know, we're suddenly going to reverse. Sorry about all this noise outside. I don't know what's going on. It's just something to look out for. I just find it incredible. People fall for this sort of stuff. I believe that the war between Russia and Ukraine was designed to kill a vast number of both of that country's population, very much like the Battle of the Somme was. When that war finally ends, it will be because they've killed the amount of people they intended to do at the start of the war. That's my opinion. I might be right, I might be wrong. But when I see articles such as this, it just gives me, kind of backs up what I say. Okay, so let's see anything else worth looking at here. UK to deny citizenship to small boat refugees. Well, I'll believe that when I see it. They certainly won't be turning them out unless all their five-star hotels are full. And we'll move on to, it's not all five-star hotels, I hasten to add, but I do find it strange that I see the same people on the street in the town in which I live. And they're there every time I go out, I see them. So there's never been any thought of putting them in hotels. But people that have been here and just turned up on the shore, illegally, I may add, they're taken to these hotels. It seems to indicate that people from outside this country are given better treatment than people who have been born in this country, and one would argue should have more protection by the country because they're actually citizens of the country. Makes you wonder why your own leadership seems to think that people who come in illegally deserve more rights and privileges than you, doesn't it? Okay, so let's move on to the Daily Mail, see what's going on there. Something about a drag race UK winner at the top, which I have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. Exclusive, the only UK city where the Albanian mafia fear to tread. They've taken over Britain's drugs trade, but as our gang map reveals, Balkan gangsters have been unable to breach one northern underworld stronghold. So I'll click on that just to see if it tells us near the top. That's what they like to do on the Daily Mail for some reason. They don't always give you a town in the headline. You have to sort of click on it to find out what the town that they're referring to, which, as I can see here, is Liverpool. It says Liverpool stands out as being one of the few areas Albanian gangsters are unable to operate. Experts say with its drug trade remaining in the hands of local criminals, often with strong links to the communities they terrorise. And something else I'll throw in here. When Tony Blair opened the gates to immigration after he came to power in 1997, it was primarily Eastern European immigration, so the likes of Albanians. Now, I've had some benefits from Eastern European immigration. The guy who... I had a guy from Poland who used to come in and do work for me in my apartment. Another guy from Georgia. Was it Georgia? No. Bulgaria, that's right. His name's Georgie. That's why I'm getting confused. And they've done brilliant work. And then I've had other people that I've used who are of English background, and they've been absolutely dreadful. But a funny story, I got a temporary job in, the year 2000 to 2001. I was working for a job agency and I was sent to Shell in, you know, the oil company in London. And it was just a clerical job. I think it was about £8 an hour, which was pretty good for them, because what Shell would do is they would always pay about £1 more than anybody else. So if you managed to get a temporary job with Shell, you were doing well. And you also got a free lunch there in their canteen. And their canteen was amazing. They had roast dinners in there, all sorts of stuff. And you'd get a sandwich and you'd get more choice than if you went to, you know, a Pret-a-Manger sandwich shop, something like that. You just got more choice there. It was brilliant. It was an amazing place. While I was there, I put on about a stone in weight due to the food that I was able to eat for free. But I was working with a, you know, these desks are, you put four together, so two next to each other and two opposite facing. So I had two black girls opposite me, and they were talking, one point they were talking about how one person that they knew, I don't know if it was a relative or something like that, had migrated back. And they were talking about how someone had come over from Jamaica. And it wasn't uncommon for them, when they retired, to go back to Jamaica and leave the UK after they'd spent, you know, a great proportion of their working life here. They retired and decided, rather than retire in this country, to go to Jamaica. But one thing that really, you know, surprised me was they started talking about how angry they were about all this immigration coming into the country. And they were talking about East European immigration. Of course, I'm thinking, well, they're immigrants and what have you. But you see, both of these girls were born in this country. So they don't regard themselves as immigrants. They weren't immigrants. Their parents or their grandparents, whoever it was that first came, from which they were descended, they were the immigrants. These were the British people. And they had a right to be here. But these people coming in from Eastern Europe, we shouldn't have them in. So it's just an anecdote I wanted to share with you, because I found it interesting at the time, and it just shows how, you know, people can perceive things in different ways. Okay, so let's see what's going on in the independent news at the moment. I hit on RT tentatively because that was the last site I was on before my computer was crashed on, or rather my Brave browser was crashed on Monday's show. Is there anything worth looking at here? Rebels threaten to march on another Democratic Republic of Congo city. This is something that I covered with Dr. Peter Hammond. We did a show on it, not yesterday, but I believe the week before. It'll certainly still be on the website. And, so these problems in the Congo are still going on. And let's move on to rents.com, see what's going on over there. Scroll down. There's some interesting pictures. I told you about Jeff Rents walking around with up to his knees in snow. Well, he's got a tree has come down, and I feel sorry for him with his tree coming down. But it's very pretty when you see lots of snow and nice trees and stuff like that. And he's out there with a chainsaw working on some of these trees, which is pretty impressive. I have never handled a chainsaw and really wouldn't want to. Now, we had one at the house. It was one of the things I got rid of, that was one that you plug into the electrics, which I never fancied. But of course, these things were cheaper, so they bought the cheaper stuff. I remember in a house with on 3/4 of an acre of land, that includes the house, but the garden is bigger than the house. I was the guy who had to do the lawn. And so I'm a stepdad at the time, when the petrol mower stopped working and was, you know, not fit to be repaired, he decided by saving money that he'd get an electric one. And I had to use about 3 or 4 extension leads to get all around the garden, and then unplugging here, plugging in there, unplugging here, plugging in there. At one time, I had to lift one up, and I got electrocuted. My whole hands just shot. I looked shot up in the air. It was a weird experience, like a massive star jump in the air as the electric, and then came down. I was okay. I wasn't burnt or anything afterwards, but yeah, these sort of things really annoyed me. And funny enough, when I sort of left and wasn't doing it anymore, I was going to college or whatever it was, suddenly you got a petrol mower then, and that is the one that we still have today and the one that I use. But yes, there you go. So let's stop digressing and see what's going on. Top story, rents.com. Trump orders thousands of IRS agents to be sent to the southern border to remove invaders. Bravo. And that links to a Daily Mail article, apparently. So that's one that I'm not aware of seeing. And then Pentagon to send another 1,500 soldiers to the border area. I still think that if you want to get rid of these people, the Jeff Rents program to get rid of them at the top of the website is the one to go with. And I don't say that because I'm on rentsradio.com. It's just, it makes sense to give some sort of incentive to people to leave naturally. Because if they do that, you're going to save money. You're not going to be paying to deport them, although he says you should give each person who takes it up, I think, $1,000 for doing so. But it's going to, you think about all the money that you spent to round these people up, to find where they are, to work out a time to go and pick them up, and then you go there and they're not there one time, you're going back, all this sort of stuff. And the amount of people involved. There's been talk, not just from Jeff Rents, but other people in the independent media, about the, you know, what, 50-odd years at the rate he's going, it would take to round up the amount of illegals that are in the country. So it's simply not doable. You have to operate some other system by which you can get people to go along with this program themselves and do it themselves without you having to do it for them. And also, it's far more humane that way. You could literally set out a sort of moratorium and say, look, this, we're going to suspend this for 30 days, 60 days, something like that, give you a chance to get, make your plans, get your stuff together, and then when you go to the border, you will qualify for this money, you can get it at the border, what have you, on your way out the country. That's the way I think that it would work better, and it would be far easier for everybody concerned. The US government wouldn't have to pay to round these people up. These people wouldn't feel persecuted that they're literally being, you know, gathered together and thrown out of a country. It's far more, well, far more relaxing to be able to do it under your own steam and not be detained anywhere while the process is happening. But the fact that it isn't happening that way, as I said before, if a radio presenter like Jeff Rents can come up with that, why shouldn't somebody whose job is in immigration or in politics, they should have more training to come up with a political idea than a radio presenter? And the fact that they haven't makes me believe that this is yet another one of Trump's promises being carried out, but in a manner that's not really going to change much of the status quo in America. Okay, then we've got HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Federal judge failed to recuse over conflict of interest in case ordering Trump to release federal funding. Well, these judges, I've said about before, this is something else. The problem that Trump had in his last term was every time he seemed to do something, some judge popped up and said, oh no, I'm blocking that. Well, that judge wasn't elected, Trump was. So again, if Trump hasn't got a system in place right now to say, actually, you can't block this because I've introduced this, again, I'm very suspicious, because it was judges that were stopping him doing stuff last time round. So how come he hasn't addressed that issue in the 4 years he's been out of power to ensure that they don't do the same thing this time round? Okay, let's move on to earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Else's website. Just wait for this one to load up. There is a video at the top, The Scientist Who Hacked Reality by Philosophical Essence. I'm not sure what that is about. There is a title over the top. It is the same title. So you might want to have a look at that. And then we've got, this goes back to yesterday. Actually, I'm going to scroll down because it's very early in the morning where Mark is. So he's got the news from yesterday, like I cover. I always cover yesterday's news on today's show, because today hasn't happened yet. It's only 10:30 in the morning. But something I noticed on his one of his links that I wanted to draw your attention to is a show that I listen to regularly. And it is by... Who is it by? It's the Eyes Wide Open, is it? Oh, let me look. Eyes is Watching. Eyes is Watching with Steve Eyes. Now, he does a show on Odyssey, and I believe he's got a BitChute channel as well, every week. But not the weekend just gone, but the weekend before, he missed the show. And as a result, when he did last week's show, it ended up being quite a bumper show. It had it was an hour and a half long rather than an hour. And I found it to be very interesting. And now I can't seem to find it on here, but I did see it on here yesterday. There's so many different posts that Mark puts up on his website that I'm trying to scroll through. But if you can't get it, let me just show you where I get it from. I go to odyssey.com/@eyesiswatching, and that's eyes as in your eyes, is watching without the G. odyssey.com/eyesiswatching. Well worth a watch or a listen, as I did after I downloaded it and converted it into an mp3 file. Censored.news, let's move on to that. Ozempic users face blindness risk as doctors warn of serious side effects. So we've had all sorts of these things going on with Ozempic, and we've got class action suits in America, stuff like that. It makes you wonder why this is still on the market. But then you sort of think about all these reports about the COVID vaccine and how not only were they still on the market, but the people who criticised it in the, well, many of them lost jobs. They were humiliated, any sort of penalties that they could get, which, as we saw from that pharmacist who pointed out the dangers of the MMR vaccine, still continues to this day. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10. Beforeitsnews.com, go over there, and I'm just going to wait for this one to load up. Number 10, went up 20 hours ago, 95 people viewing. Breaking, the Federal Reserve is melting down after Trump just gave Elon the green light today. Number 9, went up 13 hours ago, 95 people viewing. Pleiadian shocking warning about upcoming 3 days of darkness. Something big is going to happen. Wow. I don't know why I bother sometimes. In fact, I'm going to rephrase that. I don't know why I bother ever. Number 8, went up 4 hours ago, 100 people viewing. Just jumped, there it is. SG Anon and Ricardo Bossi, 300,000 military troops deployed globally as the Gitmo countdown begins. Number 7 went up a day ago, 109 people viewing. Chemtrail pilot confronted, goes viral, Cat Cali chemtrails. Well, whatever. Number 6 went up 7 hours ago, 112 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump trusts his plan, the best is yet to come. Where we go, one we go. Number 5 went up 4 hours ago, 167 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and David Nino Rodriguez. Breaking Trump intel. This could change it all. Number 4 went up 9 hours ago, 185 people viewing. SG Anon intel on Super Bowl, Hollywood, US aid and destruction of Deep State 2025. Number 3 went up a day ago, 234 people viewing. Charlie Ward and Scott McKay. Charlie's back. Huge Trump intel. The march to Gitmo begins. I thought it had already begun. Number 2 went up 3 hours ago, 283 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. President Trump, emergency alert. All hell is breaking loose in 72. I presume that's hours, but the headline runs out. And finally, number 1 went up 10 hours ago, 315 people viewing. New X-22 report, February the 11th. Trump trap deep state is attempting a coup. What we can expect next 2025. Okay, so I want to thank all of you for joining me on this Wednesday, February the 12th, 2025, for a show entitled Why Do So Many People, Including Myself, say yeah, no today when it doesn't make any sense. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with you all in the afternoon tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.